Good morning, Emmaus. Good to see you this morning. Couple of announcements before we get started. Water baptism's coming up next week. If you're a believer in Jesus and you have not been baptized, I want to encourage you to take that step. If you need information about that, want to talk about that, you can talk to me after the service. There's a sign-up sheet out here in the foyer for that. And then fantasy football. Any sports fans? We need some people to sign up for that because me and Jerry need a little competition. So fantasy football is a great time to just get together with some other guys. We have fun at the draft and then hanging out, maybe watch some games, have some fun, talk some smack, stuff like that. So sign up for that. What is the church? The church is the family of God living on mission. Okay? So family spends time together, has fun, walks through good times and bad times. But the church and the kingdom of God, which is what we've been talking about lately, is about people, okay? So we want to make sure it stays about that. I want to give you some updates on some prayer requests. And I'm sure you came in here, and all of us have stuff going on in life, family members, extended family. And David Johnson, who we prayed for last week, had a heart ablation surgery a week ago, and that all went well, but a couple days ago, he was having pain, having a hard time eating, keeping food down, having pain in his stomach. He went in, had a CT scan. They found a blockage between his intestine and his stomach, and so he's going to have a scope done either today or tomorrow. He's back in the hospital. Dave's a member of our leadership team, and so want to be praying for him and Fran. And then I shared about Stephen and Erica Jones, their baby Abigail, who was born with an inoperable brain tumor. And we want to be praying for them. And in just a moment, we're going to take some time and pray together as a family. But I want to share with you, as we talk about the kingdom of God and the reality of that and how this world that we live in is ultimately passing away, and there's a kingdom that supersedes this kingdom, and it's up to us to have that kingdom perspective. I just want to share with you a text from Stephen as he and Erica walk through the situation with their baby Abigail. I want to share with you this text I received from him, and you'll see kind of a kingdom perspective that I don't think the world really would understand too much. He said, "We are a week into the amazing life of Abigail, with the report that the left side of her brain is completely missing. Her ability to live is literally a miracle. We had a scare a few days ago when she wasn't eating, but now we have a feeding tube and she seems to be perking up, but still concerned over how much she is sleeping. God is in control and always will be. She will go home with him when her mission is complete. We're trying to live each moment with purpose. We know that our time is limited with our daughter. She could leave us at any time on any day. We choose to look at this as a blessing, not a curse. We have the luxury of knowing that tomorrow isn't promised. That forces us to make every moment count and each day a masterpiece that will live forever in our memories. Anything less devalues her life. Eric and I are tired but feeling the power of people's prayers and God's amazing love. We truly know that Abigail's life is meant for something greater than this tumor and being our daughter. God has purposed her for this time and place in history. She's impacting his kingdom, and we're overwhelmed with joy. There are moments of sadness, but we press through, knowing we will one day see her again." And that's a kingdom perspective that, you know, I would only hope that I would have in a similar situation. But it's a reminder to all of us, life is short and there's no guarantees. And so what I want to do now, I know we have kids in here, and this is maybe a little bit tough for some of you. I apologize for that. For some of you, this may just be a little uncomfortable. But I want to take some time and for us to just pray as a church body. Maybe if you're here with some family, you can take some time, pray together. But just really take a few moments and gather with a couple of people next to you. I mean, I'd like for no one to be alone, but I'm going to leave that up to you. Don't feel like you're forced to pray out loud or anything like that, but I want us to just pray. Pray about the things I shared, but also just what's going on in your own life, things that you need to bring before God, the burdens you need to lay at his feet. And prayer is simple. It's talking to your Father in the name of Jesus, because he made a way for us to be able to do that. And so, you know, like I said, it might be uncomfortable for you, but my job is not to make you comfortable. This is not about, you know, us coming together for some event or anything like that, and then, you know, you leaving here feeling a little bit better about things. This is about the family of God coming together, realizing we live in a world where there's all kinds of struggle and darkness and pain, and God's right there in the midst of it, and he wants to answer our prayers as we bring them before him. So I'm just going to ask you, take a few minutes with a few folks around you, and maybe gather one or two people, pray about anything that's been shared or anything that's on your heart, and we'll come back in a few minutes. Chuck's going to give us a little background music to pray, and just really take some time, take a couple minutes, and if you just want to sit by yourself and talk to God, that's fine too. Let's take a few minutes and pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you invite us to come before your throne and bring our requests and our prayers and our needs. And God, although we are sinful people and are not worthy, you invite us because Jesus is worthy. And God, our faith is in him. And as we come before you and we lay all these things at your feet, God, we know that you have the ability to move and to change any circumstance. And so, God, that's our request in this time, God, that you'd move on our behalf. God, that you would bring healing, that you would bring comfort. The people we spoke about, others who are sick and others who are emotionally distressed and struggling, those who are in the hospital. I think of Beth Calandro, continue to bring strength to her. Lily Boone, bring healing to her body. God, so many others, family members who are struggling. And God, help us to have the grace to walk through whatever is before us and remind us, God, that this world is not our home. And the reality is one day we will all breathe our last breath and stand before you. And God, we will experience your kingdom in a very real sense. God, may we experience that here and now. We pray. We thank you for it. Thank you for the family of God. Thank you that we could walk together, that we could be a blessing to one another. Help us to know how to do that in a better way, God. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, thank you for taking the time. And sometimes we just got to hit the pause button. Remember what's most important. Take time for that. We've been talking about the kingdom of God and the reality that God's kingdom supersedes this worldly kingdom that we live in. And Jesus came, when he came, and he would talk about the kingdom of God continuously. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, turn around, move toward God instead of away from God. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is real, and it's here now. Last week, we talked about what it's like to live in a world that often pulls at us to pull us away from that kingdom. We went through some of Ephesians 5 where Paul says, walk in such a way that you are mindful of your steps. Be careful. Watch out how you walk because the world will tempt you and move you off track in many different ways. And then we looked at Matthew 9 and we saw that Jesus at one moment, there's a crowd and he's moved with compassion because in Matthew 9, it says, he saw the people and they were like sheep without a shepherd, helpless and harassed, and he had compassion for them. And he loved them, and he told the disciples, he goes, look, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray for the Lord to raise up people into the harvest field. And then he empowers them, and he says, now you go. And basically, all of us have a role to play in this, and we have to be reminded of it. But I want to ask you a question. Jesus, when he looked at the people who were helpless and harassed, who were struggling, he had compassion on them. And I want to ask you, when you see people who are far from God, or you see people who are struggling, what's the first inclination? Is it judgment? Is it compassion? Because the heart of God is compassion. Because even the people who are furthest from God, he understands, and we should understand, they're blinded by the enemy. The scripture says, the God of this age has blinded them so they cannot see. So they're just getting beat up, and they desperately need the Savior that we know. And I'm just amazed that God would invite people like you and like me into this whole thing. That he would allow us to be a part of what he's doing in the world is a pretty amazing thing to me. You know, I think about God using me in any way, not just as a pastor, if you know any of my story, you know, not just as a pastor, but just that God would use me is an incredible thing. And that's the thing. That's where God's redemptive plan is so beautiful. And when you think about it, the whole idea that God redeems people, he takes our pain and our failures and our brokenness and he redeems it. When we surrender to him, and he uses that to bring healing, to bring love to people, and to bring glory to himself. I mean, it's amazing that he would use people like us. But here's the deal. It's kind of all he's got left right now, right? I mean, Jesus died, he rose, he ascended to the Father. He sends his spirit to live inside of us. So Jesus, we could say, is the hope of the world, but really it's the church that's the hope of the world, and it's the bride of Christ, and the Spirit of God lives in us, and so we're the ones who bring healing and love and redemption to the world, and he does that through us. So I want to look at some more of Jesus' teaching about the kingdom, and I'm going to try to be mindful of time and kids. And by the way, August 31st will be our first Sunday over there. Okay, so we will have childcare, and we'll need some of you to volunteer. We will be over there one way or another, all right? And so if you can help out at all, we're going to start really doing cleanup and doing, you know, setting up rooms and things like that in the near future. So you'll hear more about that, but we could use your help. So I want to go through just a short passage today. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells a bunch of stories. He tells a bunch of parables, and they're parables about the kingdom. We've already gone through three of them. I taught on two of them And Leonard taught on one, the parable of the soils. Today we're going to look at two short parables, stories that Jesus tells to teach us about the kingdom. We're going to look at Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33. So if you have a Bible, you could turn there, but it'll come up on the screen. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in three measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Okay, so Jesus begins by using the mustard seed as an illustration, and leaven as an illustration to make a point about the kingdom, okay? Now, when you hear that, a mustard seed, anything else come to mind? Any other verses, any other stories talking about a mustard seed? If you just had faith the size of a mustard seed, right? So the mustard seed was used with this proverbial sense of something small, okay? The people there would have understood that, and that's what Jesus does, is he takes these things from everyday life that people would understand, and he brings them to a point where he interjects a truth that they might not have connected with it, okay? And that's what he does, is he tells these parables. Now, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in the field. When he says, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you could pray and move mountains, all right? So there he's saying, if you just had a little bit of faith, okay, you could do something amazing. Now, in this parable, he says that the kingdom of God is not like a single mustard seed, right? He says it's like a mustard seed that somebody did something with. What do they do with it? They sow it, okay? So they plant it. And so the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that's planted. It's very small, starts off very, very small, the smallest of their garden plants, but yet it grows into something quite large. Some people there would say that the mustard seed would grow into a mustard bush or tree that could go as big as 10 or 15 feet high. All right, so what's the point? The point is, it starts off small and it gets bigger. And it might even be surprisingly large to some people. Now, this has to be encouraging to the disciples. We talked a little bit about the disciples last week. They have no clue, really, what Jesus is doing. I mean, there's times where it appears that they understand, but then actually four chapters ahead is Matthew 17, and that's where he uses the illustration about the mustard seed. And what happens is this guy has a son who's demon-possessed, and he brings him to the disciples, and they're praying for him, and nothing's happening. And finally, Jesus comes along. What's going on? He's like, well, I brought my son to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything for him. And that's when Jesus is like, man, you unbelieving generation. You know, and he just goes on and on. How long will I stay with you? And finally, he prays, and the demons cast out, and he goes, if you just had faith like a mustard seed, you could have done this and much, much more, okay? So these guys, even late in the Jesus ministry, they don't understand what's going on. So now Jesus says, listen, the kingdom of God's like a mustard seed. It looks really small, but it'll grow into something much, much bigger in time. And so this is probably encouraging to them in some ways, but they don't necessarily understand fully what it means, because like everyone else, they were expecting the Messiah to come and bring an earthly kingdom and an earthly deliverance to them. See, the Jews have been waiting for hundreds of years for the Messiah, and they were waiting for an earthly king to deliver them. And what happens? God sends them a baby born to a teenage virgin, basically born homeless, in a feeding trough, out by the animals. And when Philip comes to tell Nathanael, hey, we found the one, what does Nathanael say? That he goes, he's from Nazareth. And he goes, can anything good come from Nazareth? He was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was like the Callahan of those days, okay? No offense to anyone from Callahan, but it's like, come on, the Messiah is coming from there? Really? Are you serious? They're expecting a king. Jesus, when it's time for his triumph, he rides in on a donkey. I mean, it's just like anti-everything. That's sometimes the way his kingdom is. It's upside down when you look at it compared to this world. And so Jesus is encouraging these guys. He's going, listen, it might look small right now, but it's growing into something. It's growing into something that's going to have a purpose beyond what you can see right here. So he takes these 12, and we talked about it last week. I mean, if you looked at this group of men and someone were to say, hey, these are the guys who are going to change the world, change the future, you probably would have laughed. They probably would have laughed, okay? But here's the deal. No one, I don't think anyone would have thought 2,000 years later, people would be gathered in a room at 3425 Sans Pareil Street in Jacksonville talking about the things that these men wrote and about their king, the Messiah, Jesus. But that's exactly what's happened. Okay, we're here as a result of that mustard seed, that kingdom which is sprouting up and has been sprouting up and growing for some 2,000 years. And now God goes, listen, all of you, you all have that same seed. See, I've given you my spirit, and you have that seed to sow. And you sow it in someone's life, and you know what happens? The kingdom continues to grow. And you have a part to play in that. And you don't know what it's going to look like 10 years from now, 15 years from now. You have no idea the role that you will play in someone's life, the eternity that will be changed as a result of you sowing that seed. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 to 7 says this. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not us. See, he invites you and he invites me to be a part of what he's doing. He gives us his spirit, but the reality is, we've said it before, we're all messed up people, right? I mean, jars of clay, flawed, broken, some just patched together. And he goes, I've done this for a reason, so that people will know it's not you, it's me, it's him. Right? It's not you, and you don't take the credit for it, and it's not about your glory, it's about his. So don't see yourself as insignificant. Just see yourself as a vessel. Maybe broken, maybe wounded, maybe going through a lot of struggle, but God's pouring into you, and he will use all of that for his glory. Why? Because the kingdom of God, it's like a little seed. And you plant it, and it grows into something that you can never even imagine. And when it grows, there's something that happens, okay? There's something that he says happens at the end of that passage. He says it grows, and it becomes a tree so that the birds of the air can come and make nests in its branches, okay? In other words, it grows for a reason. So he's not saying, hey, this is going to grow into some great thing for you guys. You plant the seed. You sow the seeds of the gospel of the kingdom, and you're going to get an awesome mega church. And it's going to be all for you, and it's going to be something fantastic. Not that there's anything wrong with mega churches or anything like that. But it's not about you. It's not about me. He goes, what happens is you sow the seed, and all of a sudden this kingdom grows, and you see it grow all around you. And then what happens is the birds of the air, they come, and they can make nests in this tree. And when you think of a bird making a nest, what happens? It's where it can take care of, you know, the mama bird takes care of the young ones. It's where there's protection. You ever been out in a storm, like a heavy storm rolls in? How many birds you see flying around in the middle of a storm? Right? And when the storm rolls away, where do the birds, they fly out of what? The trees, right? They take shelter in the trees. So there's something for us to learn here. You know, the kingdom of God, it's like that seed that's sown and it grows, but it doesn't just grow for its own sake. See, it's where the birds that fly around, it's for the ones who are struggling can come and find rest, protection, covering, shade. Remember we said, it's been a few weeks now, but Jesus says what? Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. See, the kingdom of God is about God allowing people to come in and those who are wounded to be healed, those who need rest to get it. We got to be careful not to be people of the kingdom who hand out heavy burdens. Oh, you've come in, you know, you come in now get yourself right. All right, now you got to get yourself straight. Now you know, once you come into this group, let's allow the Spirit of God to do what the Spirit of God wants to do in people's lives. And ultimately, yes, he wants to change us and he wants to make us more like Jesus and he wants to make all of us sowers of that seed. But man, we're all in progress. We're all a work in progress and we all have a story and God's working on our story and he's writing our story. The kingdom of God would provide shelter in the storms of life. And don't forget, the church is an expression of the kingdom, or at least it should be. Psalm 18, verses 2 to 6 says this: The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I'm saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me, and the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. See, our prayers at the beginning of this service reached his ears. When we struggle, we cry out to him. He meets our needs. And when he meets our needs, however that may be, whether he brings healing or he brings comfort to walk through the struggle, he does that not just so that we can be comforted, not just that we could experience deliverance, but that we have something to offer the next person. The person who needs that healing, the person who needs that comfort, the person who needs someone, the person who needs to rest in the shade of the tree of the kingdom, the person who needs to come in from the scorching heat and just experience some rest and let the love of God pour over them. And God would want to use you and me to do that. Verse 33, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast a woman used in making bread. And even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. So the whole point of that is just real simple. The kingdom of God is compared to the transforming power of yeast. You put a little bit in, it changes the bread. Anybody ever have unleavened bread? Like, you know, the matzah cracker, right? I mean, it's hard, it's flat, it's not very good, okay? I mean, I love bread, and me and my wife, we're just kind of on this thing, we're trying to do no sugar, no bread, and if we do bread, we're doing like wraps and stuff like that. I feel like right now I'm in the midst of a very, very deep and desperate struggle, okay? I mean, like, I'm fighting the devil, and the devil looks like a loaf of bread, and I want that bread desperately. But you know what I mean? Like, you go into Carrabba's, and they give you that bread, and they give you that dipping sauce, and it's like, ah. Oh. Give me a saltine cracker. I'm like, man, you better only give me that if I got the flu or something, right? And I'm eating chicken noodle soup. But you put a little leaven in, and it changes everything, right? Changes it, transforms it. You can't separate it. He goes, the kingdom is like you put a little bit of leaven in, and then you just watch it grow. And it may grow slowly, but it's going to change everything. It should change everything in your life. So as much as I say you walk through those doors, we want you to feel comfortable. We want you to be in a place where you can just be loved and experience the love of God. But make no mistake about it. When you encounter the Spirit of God, He is going to change you from the inside out. There's going to be moments where He puts His finger on things in your life and you're going to go, God, I really don't want to deal with that. But as He works on you, that's what He does. He transforms us from the inside out. And the more you surrender to Him, the more He transforms you. And the more He transforms you, the more He transforms this community. And the more He transforms this community, the more He transforms the world. Because the kingdom of God is made up of people. And it's you and me. And that's what He has to work with. And that's what He sends out in the world. And He wants us to sow those seeds. Levi, you guys can come back up. You might not see. Wow, that was a loud hallelujah. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. You might not see the effects immediately. Man, think about the 12. It was like every time Jesus started to get a crowd, He thinned it out. Think about how discouraged these guys must have been. Crowds are following Jesus. And then he comes up with some crazy teaching like, okay, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Now remember, in their mind, the cross is like electric chair, right? I mean, it was a cruel instrument of death. It wasn't something nice you hung around your neck. Okay, so you got to take up your cross and follow me. Crowds start to clear. Hey, if you want to enter my kingdom, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. It's like they all disappear. And then Jesus looks at the 12. He goes, are you guys going to go too? And they're like, where are we going to go? I mean, we've already given our life. And so here they are, like, what is going on? They had, I don't think, really much of an idea, even up until the day that some of them died, when they gave their lives for this thing we call the kingdom. And in giving their lives, some of them sowed a seed that would sprout up into something amazing. And it would change the world. And like I said earlier, we're here as a result. There you are. I thought you guys were going to leave me on my own. Appreciate it. God is at work redeeming people. He starts with us. And He redeems us and He changes us. And we like that song we sang earlier, we're covered by His grace. All of our sin is covered, it's forgiven. But He continues to work on us and He continues to change us and He allows us to be sowers of that seed, to share that with the world. And here's the deal, folks. It's like we prayed at the beginning of service. No promises, no guarantees for you today that life's going to get better for you as you follow Jesus. No guarantees that it's going to go smooth and every prayer is going to be answered just the way you want it answered. The guarantee that you have is this: I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. No matter what you go through, no matter what you face, you will not go through it alone. The Spirit of God will be with you. He will bring people around you. He may bring healing in the midst of that situation. The kingdom of God may break through in a way that surprises everyone. Cancer can be healed. Those things can happen. He just doesn't guarantee that they will happen all the time or on our watch. But He does guarantee His presence will be there as we walk through it. So I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing this last song. There is communion available on either side of the stage if you would want to share communion with your family. But I want to pray for us, and I want us to just think about what we're talking about. Think about the kingdom. Think about what it means for you in the midst of all that you're facing right now. So let's just take a moment and pray. Father, we come before You now, and we thank You that You would allow us, fractured, flawed people, people that You pour Your Spirit inside of, broken jars made of clay, all with our own struggles. God, that You would allow us to be a part of what You're doing. I really believe that we all have seed to sow, and if we could just envision a handful of that seed, and God, show us how you want us to sow that into the world, to see your kingdom grow all around us. But God, the reality is there's struggles that we're all facing. There's people we love who are hurting. Some of us in this room are hurting. And so, God, we come before you with that, and we lay all that at your feet. And God, we ask that you'd move on our behalf. And God, however you choose to do that, whether it's healing you bring now, whether it's grace to walk through the situation, help us to know and to believe that we're never alone, and that you would use people, just everyday, average people, like all of us in this room, to accomplish something great. That as we sow that seed, we would see a tree sprout up that would be a blessing to the world. God, thank you that we're not alone. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name.